We're back. You're listening Across the Border. I'll take a few minutes here to ask you to visit my website. I have a contact page there. You can contact me. You can leave comments about the study or any of the articles or postings there on the website. Please do leave a comment. Be sure to sign up there for the blog so when I publish a new article that you can receive an email about that. crosstheborder.org. And if the Heavenly Father asks you to support this ministry or First Amendment Radio, please, you know, be obedient to Him and receive the blessing that He has for you. And if He doesn't tell you, well, then don't. Okay? Let your giving be with joy and out of obedience to our Heavenly Father, and you'll receive the just reward for your obedience. Okay, we're in Job here, and we got to chapter 5. Eliphaz is continuing here with a lengthy monologue directed at Job. A lot of it just kind of rambling observations. Much of it, a lot of truth to it. I see a lot of these things around me and in my own life, in the setting that I live in, and I see that I have enemies that practice some of these things. They meet with darkness in the daytime. They grope in the noonday as in night. It says, it taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Of course, they're wise in their own eyes. And the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. But he saveth the poor from the sword and from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is a man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. You know, that sounds like something that our good friend Solomon would have wrote in the Proverbs there, and perhaps that's where Solomon read it. You know, it's just as I find many of the things that the Messiah said. You know, they seem profound when he said them, but I found that most of them, most of the things that he said, I find as I'm going through the Old Testament. Of course, if he was Almighty, the Almighty in the flesh, the Almighty God, of course, he wrote the Word to begin with and created all things, so there's no surprise there that he would use the same words. But this is a good thing. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Yes, and I say amen to that. I am so glad that he corrects me. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. But see, this is Eliphaz directing this at Job. Is Job learning anything? Well, you know what? When we all go through our trials and tribulations in life, do we not all examine our very lives? I know I do. When I'm going through trials and tribulations, it's examination time for me. And sometimes I just go, well, you know, I didn't bring this upon myself, or maybe I did in a way, you know, but maybe not through sin, but just through circumstances and actions that I took, getting involved with the wrong people or whatever, but, you know, sometimes you don't get to know people until you get involved with them, and then it's kind of too late. The trials come anyway. But happy is the man whom God correcteth. So perhaps Eliphaz is saying to Job here is, well, you should be happy that God is correcting you for your secret sin. Perhaps that's the accusation there. Therefore despise thou not the chastening of the Almighty. So he's telling Job that, hey, God is chastening you. But we know from the conversation behind the scenes what's really going on here. He's being tried. Trials are not always chastening of the Almighty for sin. When trouble comes, it's not always the correction of the Almighty. Sometimes it's just a trial. Sometimes it's just to see, for us to see. I mean, you know, the Almighty, he already knows who we are because he knew the result of the trial before he gave it. And I've learned from the trials that have come upon my life that I had choices to make, and I had temptations that come with those trials. The temptations come with the trials, and they prove us. If we stand and we resist the temptation, we take the way of escape from that temptation, and we continue uprightly in righteousness, then we have proved our righteousness is in him. Sometimes that's the only reason the trials come, to prove. And we're glad. We don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the trouble and the trials. It's hard. I don't like the feelings of anxiety, the anguish. I don't like those feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings. Feelings mean that you're alive, that you're flesh and blood, that you have a heart, a flesh. You're not a stone. That's what feelings mean. Feelings are not sin. It's not a sin to feel those things. It's not a sin to feel like, you know, throttling the person who's bringing the trial in your life. If you didn't feel those things, there'd be something wrong with you. But it's resisting the temptation that those feelings, because realizing that your feelings lie, not being ruled by your feelings, but being ruled by the commandments of the Almighty. Temptations come with those feelings. And those that don't rule their spirit, they fall for them temptations. They do whatever their feelings tell them to do. Wherever their feelings lead them, that's where they go. See? The froward of the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. That's right, just headlong into it. Doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter if I have to break God's law. They deserve it. Now, who makes that judgment? You get to break God's law? The counsel of the froward is carried headlong. That he disappointeth the devices of the crafty. There's some crafty. I have a crafty Jezebel over here. She has devices that she is trying to perform. But it says, so that their hands cannot perform the enterprise. They get caught up in their own snares because the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. You know, a lot of people, they read books like the Proverbs and Jobs, and I can identify with this. It just sounds like a lot of nonsense. It did to me at one time. I remember it was, 40 years ago. Yeah, I guess it's been that long now, 40 years since I started reading the Bible. And I can remember reading the book of Proverbs, and it was like nonsense. I was just going, wow, what is this? This is nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of a jumble of words. But the problem wasn't with the book. The problem wasn't with the words. The problem was with me. I couldn't understand those words because my thinking was not there. It was not a different language, but it was like looking at a different language. It wasn't nonsense. It was that my mind was filled with nonsense and I couldn't understand it. It was like reading a different language. It was like the language, the Word of God. And all I had been schooled in were the words of foolishness and nonsense. So that nonsense was my reality when I looked at the Word of God and the Proverbs and the wisdom, and it was nonsense. But I read that and it says the words to make one wise and give the young man understanding. And I could understand that part. I couldn't understand most of what I was reading, but I just thought to myself, I said, well, I want to be wise. I want understanding. So I persisted in reading it. And I read it over and over. And I'd always get a little more out of it. No, the Heavenly Father would just, His Spirit would give me a little more all the time to keep me coming back for more. Till today, where I read the book of Proverbs or I read these words in Job and they make perfect sense to me. There's no nonsense here at all. Let's continue. Eliphaz. Very long-winded. You find these men to be very long-winded in their words, their sermons to Job. Now the students, are going to preach to the master. The poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Verse 17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise thou not the chastening of the Almighty. That's a pretty good sermon. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. You know, here Eliphaz, he must have experienced these things to be able to say them. I've experienced these things. I could say these things. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Well, I'll take that one. You know, I did my latest posting on my website. It's called the Global Great Depression. And I know there's war coming and famine. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. And I know that through these coming troublous times that are leading up to the return of the Messiah in about 60 years, there's going to be troublous times, and his elect are going to need to rely on the leading of his Holy Spirit like they never have before. And there's only one way to be led by the Spirit of the Almighty, by his Holy Spirit, and that is obedience. Obey him today. Keep his commandments. Be sensitive to the work that his Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Learn obedience. Let him work that work of repentance. Let him repent means to change your mind. When you change your mind and come into agreement with the law of God, that changes your life. That is the work of repentance. Learn obedience. And then when the time of famine, when the time of war come, which they are surely coming, and the time of the mark of the beast is coming, who's going to be able to survive through that? People are fearful, and I don't blame them. You should be fearful. I'm afraid. But let that fear be a godly fear that leads you to obedience. Learn obedience. Then you will be led by his Spirit. That's the message that God has given me for the times that are coming. Read it there in my article, crosstheborder.org. Read that posting, the Global Great Depression. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. You won't die in the famine. Hallelujah. And in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shall thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. I don't like destruction. But when it comes, he's going to give me the ability to stand up to it and not cower in fear, to rely wholly upon him. And how is that going to happen? Because I've learned to obey him today. And when the time comes, the fear won't take me, because I will obey him then. Thou shalt not be afraid of destruction when it comes. And we have the example there of that disciple that was stoned at the end of the 70th week. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. They were killing him. And what did he say? He said, I see the heavens opened up. I see the Son of Man, the Son of God, sitting at the right hand of the Almighty. Yeah, he was having a vision. He wasn't afraid. All fear was gone. So we know that even if it comes to that, no matter what happens, that he will sustain us through it all. Neither shall thou be afraid of destruction when it comes, whether it's coming upon us or those around us. Perhaps he will preserve us through it, because we do have this, you know, we have a long period of time coming up through wars and famine and the mark of the beast system. He's going to hide his people. Some of them will be hidden. Some of them will be led like lambs to the slaughter. It's all there in the book. You can read it for yourself. You know, I may be hidden for a while. I may minister to the others for a while. And there may become a time when you know, I may be put on the altar and it may cost me my life. That's fine. I may live to the very end. I'd have to live to be pretty old, seeing there's about 60 years to go. It could happen. That's kind of unlikely, though. I'm not counting on living another 60 years. At destruction and famine, or Job 5:22, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Well, thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. I like those words. You know, I've come to the point in my life, you know, where my desire is, I never want to sin again. That's right. Hallelujah. I no reservation, you know. And I long for, oh, the resurrection, you know. I long for that time when I will never even be tempted to sin again. Do you long for that? See, the world, they enjoy sin. They have reservations to sin. They know they're going to sin again and enjoy it. Now, if you're mature in Messiah, you have no reservation to sin. You find no joy in it. You're not looking forward to it. You long for the coming of the Messiah and the resurrection where you'll never even be tempted again. We get that because we long for it. See? Now, there's the sinners out there that think, oh, they have a God that's, that loves everybody and nobody's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven when they die. But see, there's not going to be any sin in the place they think they're going. And they love sin. So how are they going to end up there? They're living a delusion. They're delusional. And I'm beginning to see just how deep the delusion of these wicked people are. And so, you know, it's easy to observe. Thou shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. And I do pray for that my children and my grandchildren will be great in Messiah, that they will give their lives to Him, that they will be led by His Spirit and embrace His righteousness and make it their own. Thou shalt come to the grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. A lot of wise words here in Job's friend Eliphaz. Continue on here to chapter 6, verse 1. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that, it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. I'm ready to die. That's Job. He said, I long for death. But you notice he doesn't kill himself. That would break the commandment of the Almighty. Yet then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now you are nothing. You see me, my casting down, and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give me reward for me of your substance? Or deliver me from the enemy's hand? Or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. You know, that's my words too. When I'm going through troubles and trials and tribulation, I want to know. I want someone to teach me. I want someone to cause me to understand where I've erred. Those who bring accusations against me, and even false, mostly false accusations, I want them to show me in the Word of God, by His commandments, where I have erred. Job here, I can relate to this. When I'm going through troubles and trials and tribulations, I feel these same things. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. You know, I have people out here who, you know, I post things and I bring forth interpretations of prophecy that I believe I have from the Word of God, and many tell me I'm error. I say, teach me, show me, teach me, and I'll hold my tongue. Correct me, exclude what I'm saying from His Word. Show me where I've erred. That's my position. Job says, how forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? We'll pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you.